Okay, so what we want to do now is define what the gifts are. And as you hear the gifts being defined, I'm going to break it down in three ways. What is the gift? Where you can find it in the Catechism of the Church. So in your notes, in your booklet, you'll see three letters, CCC, which will describe the Catechism and the numbers, the paragraphs in the Catechism, if you want to look further. And then possible areas where the gift may be expressed. We'll talk about different ways it can be expressed. It's not exclusive to these areas, but it can include these areas. But think about in terms of the gifts that you hear, particularly relevant to you, and again, where it's being used, where it's shown up in your life. Okay, so in your booklet, turn to the first page, definition of the charisms. The first is discerning of spirits. So that's number one. And by the way, these gifts correspond to the grading key here. So like on your grading key, discernment of spirits is the top of the list. That will be number one in the booklet here. Okay, so this is a supernatural capacity to judge from a spiritual insight whether the spirit operating has a source that's human, demonic, or divine. It's a supernatural perception into the spiritual realm for the purpose of determining the source of spiritual activity. In other words, when some activity occurs, it may be someone giving a teaching, it may be someone sharing a thought on something. Where's the source of that? Is it divine? Is it human? Or is it demonic? And this particular discerning of spirits is a gift that shows up where the person is able to understand, kind of like just simply as an impression, where that source is coming from. Some possible areas where the gift may be expressed or used are spiritual direction, counseling, healing ministry, intercessory prayer, or leadership. In our tradition, St. John of the Cross and St. Ignatius of Loyola were known for discernment. They had an ability to understand the source of people's activities. Now, it's important to remember, it doesn't mean that we can judge that. We just simply understand where it's coming from. And so we can, usually a lot of times when we understand where it's coming from, we're really called just simply to pray that the Lord uses that particular, whatever the person is doing, to use that activity in a way that benefits others as well, besides themselves. If it's a demonic source, then we pray the Lord would correct that in some way. Doesn't mean that we jump in and say, guess what, I think you're coming from a wrong place, you know. No, we just simply pray for them. That's all we're doing. But we perceive where the source is coming from. It's like something that comes very almost spontaneous and doesn't come because we know the person. It just simply comes in our hearts. It just comes automatically, very spontaneously. Okay? You can ask any questions on this, by the way. Just raise your hand once I get out of the blinding sun here. Okay? So, number two is exhortation. It's found in Romans chapter 12. This is a God-given gift which urges the community of believers to pursue a certain course of action or conduct that has been revealed by God. For example, I call this as like God's cheerleader. You know, this is somebody who says, you know, the Lord really wants us to build relationships with each other in a healthy, wholesome way. And they get behind that and encourage people to move in that direction. Another person's say, you know, God wants us to really develop a healthy prayer life, and they encourage others. It's like they're a great encourager of other people, you know. But they're encouraging the whole community. In other words, they encourage their relationships, maybe their small group if they're part of a small group. Okay, possible expressions of the gift are, again, counseling, spiritual direction, parenting, small group facilitator, teaching, especially children, prayer team, grief ministry, a Eucharistic minister to the sick, or leadership. Leadership meaning simply just a person that is helping others to follow a path that will help them grow in relationship to the Lord. It could be a small group. It could be a ministry that you're leading, for example. Saints in our tradition who exercise this, St. Barnabas, who mentored Paul. And you can see that in Acts 15. If it wasn't for Barnabas, who was a great encourager of Paul, you wouldn't have had St. Paul. You just would have had probably Saul somewhere along the way. Maybe a Paul, but never a St. Paul. Okay. St. Francis de Sales was famous for his gentleness and patience, exhorted St. Jane de Chantal in the founding of the Visitation Sisters. He was, by the way, her spiritual director. He remarkably evangelized the Savoy Regent of France. That was basically Protestant Calvinist, and he went and evangelized over a period of years that to return them back to the Catholic faith. He was known for his gentleness and patience. But what he did was he had the gift of encouragement or exhortation. He just exhorted people to follow the path of the Lord. Even his enemies, he treated them with great gentleness and exhorted them as well to return back to the Lord. You know, number three, again, is faith. Again, there's a scripture references for that, 1 Corinthians. This is a supernatural surge of confidence which sometimes rises in a person with a specific situation or need. It gives that person a certainty and assurance that God is about to act through a word or a specific action. It is irresistible knowledge of God's intervention. This is a person that says, I think we should do this because, and they have a complete 100% certainty and confidence that God's going to intervene and act. I know one person, for example, who, a Catholic man and his family, every year, and he spoke at this at a conference, every year he and his family would take 4 months out of the year. They were business people. They had their own business and not work, but they would go to the Amazon and area, and they would share the gospel with people. They did, and they believed, they had complete, total, absolute certainty that God would provide for them in those 4 months that they weren't working at all. They were out ministering. So if like you said to them, how do you know? They would say, we just know. You know, they couldn't logically say, well, where the money's going to come from to provide. They just knew it in their gut that God was going to supernaturally provide, and he was going to act on their behalf. And so they could go then and work amongst the people that didn't know Christ, you know, for 4 months of the year. You know, so that's the gift of faith. Again, it's, we're all called to have faith. We're called to put faith and trust in the Lord. You know, we're called to open our hearts to him. But there's the gift of faith that comes as a supernatural surge of confidence that the Lord's going to act and do something here. And you can't explain it logically. You just know it in your gut. And then you act accordingly. Okay, so if, for example, you feel like the Lord wants to really act in that person's life who's sick, you go over and you pray with them, and you just know with a confidence the Lord's going to act in their life and do something for them, okay? What are some possible expressions of this? Intercessory prayer, person who prays for others, exceptionally generous person. That's the example I told you about with the family going to the Amazon. The healing prayer team, people that pray with others who are sick. A leader of a group or a cutting-edge organization or ministry. Sometimes these are entrepreneurs, for example, who just have a complete confidence that the Lord will act and provide if they step out and do a certain course of action. An example of this in our tradition is St. Teresa of Avila, who started a branch of the Carmelite order in the face of ferocious opposition. So ferocious that as she got in the habit of renewing Carmelite houses, she went to one house and by the order of the bishop, she was ordered to go and bring renewal to this house. They wouldn't let her in for 2 days. Okay, so they just, and finally the bishop had to come down and get these 300 sisters to open up the doors for Teresa to come in and begin the renewing of this Carmelite house. Well, you know how she did it? She did not go in and say, okay, here's the rules. She went in and she loved them and served them for 1 year. And she won their hearts over to her. And so she needed the gift of faith to do that. She knew that she could take out a year and not put any rules into place, but just love them and serve them. And she cleaned their beds. She washed their clothes. She did everything. You know, she got on her hands and knees and scrubbed the whole place down, you know, to show that she was part of them and the duties. And then after a year, she won their hearts. She had complete faith that if she acted as a servant, the Lord would act on her behalf. And he did, because he won their hearts over. She was able to renew that house, that religious house. She also learned of the dreaded Spanish Inquisition that was examining her teachings. She had her teachings examined on spiritual life by kind of leadership in the Catholic Church. They were suspicious of it. And she laughed and said, "What shall we not expect? Great things of God? We serve the one who's all-powerful." In other words, in the face of what could have been a jail sentence for her, interrogation, torture maybe, she just laughed because she knew that God was all-powerful and he was going to act in the situation. Okay, that's the gift of faith. Number four, giving from Romans chapter 12, verse 8. This is the sharing of food and clothing and other possessions with generosity with those who have not. Okay, you can find this in the Catechism. Again, possible expressions of this are fundraising, exceptionally generous giving, hospitality, creative work, or social economic justice, working for justice in economic situations. So this is, for example, a person who just is able to freely share their food and clothing, possessions with other, and not worry about where the lack is going to come from to make up for it. They just know the Lord will provide. So, but they freely share food and clothing and other possessions with others. Okay, so example of that, St. Catherine Drexel, 1858 to 1955. She came from a wealthy family and through a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary, was told, freely you have received, freely give. She founded schools in Native and African America communities, started a missionary order for that purpose. She was known as the richest nun in the world because of the wealth at her disposal. She left behind 600 sisters and 61 schools for Native African Americans. So what she did was she left the wealthiness of her family, became a sister, and she established all these communities for basically people who were impoverished. She had no resources to begin with, but God supplied along the way. But she gave freely of her own possessions, her own time and energy towards others. Okay, number five, these are gifts of healing, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is an actual event of healing itself in which a sick person receives. As there are many different kinds of illnesses, so there can be many different kinds of gifts. It's an event in progression that a person receives healing emotionally, physically, or spiritual areas of their life. So this is a person who prays with the sick. Now, here's the catch about this with the gifts. Notice the plural here, gifts of healing. Some people really have a great batting percentage of getting people healed with ear problems or eye problems. If you ask them to go pray for somebody's foot, they come up with zero, okay? Somebody else is very good at praying with people who are emotionally wounded. Other people are better with praying with people who are physically hurting. So in other words, as many different illnesses, there are many different gifts of healing. And why is that? Because the Lord loves diversity, and he loves the body to be dependent on each other. So he doesn't like Lone Ranger superstars. Okay, he likes people that are dependent on each other. So possible expressions are healing prayer, medical profession, counseling, Eucharistic minister, a caregiver, person with spiritual direction, a helping profession of some kind. St. Philip Neri, 1595, in our tradition, held healing services for the sick and saw many recover. In addition, he would often hold the sick to himself, and they would experience healing. In other words, if somebody was sick, he would go hug them and draw them to his body, and they come away healed. Okay. So again, we're all called to pray for the sick. You know, if you attend any of our healing seminars or conference, we're all called to pray for the sick. But sometimes some people have certain gifts in which their batting percentage is better in certain areas than in other areas. The more we pray for the sick, the more you pray for the sick, that'll show up. You'll see that. You say, yeah, it seems like when I pray with people who are going through emotional troubles, like they seem to be more calm and peaceful. When I pray with people who are have maybe diabetes or heart issues, and I'm not as successful with that, you know. Again, different illnesses have different gifts of healing in the body of Christ. The Lord loves us to be interdependent, you know. He loves that. Number six, this is the gift of helps, 1 Corinthians 12. This covers the activities of giving, that's financial giving, aid, and mercy. So possible expressions are secretary, a person who's administrative assistant, support staff, hospitality, a mentor, for example, a volunteer, or parenting. So the gift of helps is somebody who recognizes needs, and they say, hey, roll up their sleeves, and they get in there and start doing something. And nobody asks them. They see it, and they go for it. You know, that's just who they are, you know. They see a person that's in need of aid. The aid might be a ride someplace, or it might be food, or it might be clothing, or, you know, and they just jump in and say, I'll take care of it, you know. It's like they just look for it, you know. They have eyes for it, and they go for it, you know. So in our tradition, St. Paula, 347-404, Roman noble woman, which means she was very wealthy, and became a Christian. So she was a pagan and became a Christian with a group of women accompanying St. Jerome in his work of translating the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek to Latin. Latin was the language of the day back at this time. So St. Jerome felt it was really important to translate the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into the language of the day so everybody could read it and at least hear it. And they assisted him in what was needed to translate and copy the scriptures. So in other words, this group of women led by St. Paula was responsible for the background help that St. Jerome needed to translate the scriptures. They took care of all the administrative stuff that he needed to be done to make his work effective. Number 7, interpretation of tongues. This is a God-given inspiration to speak in the language of listeners, giving them dynamic equivalent of that which was spoken by the speaker of tongues. So in other words, somebody feels in, like they just, like in a group like this, somebody just maybe will stand up and just speak in a tongue. It might be in the language of somebody who knows that language, and with it, there's a message, and that we'll look at that message later. But they interpret the tongue, which means they have a sense that this is what it means for the group, or this is what it means. An example that was Patty Mansfield tells a story that she was in a group of people praying, and she was a proficient person who learned the language of French, and she knew it inside out. She studied for years, and she was a French teacher. And she was in a group, and she heard a man that she knew, David Mangan, speaking in tongues, but he was speaking French. And so afterwards, she went up to him and said, when did you learn French? He said, I never learned French in my life, you know, so I don't know anything. So she said, well, you were speaking in French. And he said, what was I saying? And she said, well, you were just simply saying over and over again, my sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. And that was, at that time, Patty was struggling with the gift of tongues. She didn't think it was really real. And then this convinced her, you know, so that the Lord, that this gift was authentic. Because somebody didn't have a clue as to French was speaking her language. And it was speaking a message to her, you know. Okay, so possible expressions are prayer meetings, intercession. That's where Patty was, for example. Number 8, word of knowledge, 1 Corinthians 12. This is an inspiration of insight into things freely given by the Lord, of information not gained from ordinary natural means. The inspiration and insight is to lead to a receiving of the outpouring of God's love into a situation. So in other words, you've heard us here, for example, talk about the Lord tonight wants to maybe touch somebody who has a heel problem. I think that was last week. Also, somebody was having headaches when we said that. In other words, this was knowledge that we didn't get from talking to anybody. It's just we prayed and the Lord gave insights as to what conditions he wanted to maybe touch or heal. And I think all the words we had last week were claimed by somebody and got prayer for afterwards. Why does the Lord do that? It's intended to build up encouragement and faith. Like when you hear your condition called out, it's an encouragement that the Lord wants to really act and do something. For the rest of us, it's an encouragement to really believe that God is acting in our midst. He's at work, and he wants to do something in our life as well. It may not be what that particular situation was, but it's something he wants to do in our life. These words of knowledge, for example, are very helpful. For example, if you've attended the 10:30 and 12 o'clock Mass here at St. Patrick's, you'll notice, since the fall anyway, I've been getting up after communion and just sharing what the Lord wants to do in our midst. That all comes out of listening to the Lord like a word of knowledge, a sense of what he wants to do at that moment. So the fruit of it is when people respond and you know, and are being touched by the Lord's working in those situations. So what are some possible expressions? Teaching. Prayer ministry is when you pray with others, spiritual direction or counseling, leadership, a prayer meeting situation. Okay, so what's some examples? In our tradition, St. Philip Neri, again, had prophetic ability and insight into people's hearts. Even at a distance, he would communicate this insight. St. John Vianney, in a confession with insight into people's souls. So you don't need to be either one of these folks. You can just be yourself. The Lord wants to give these gifts to help you minister to others. So when you're sitting down talking to your adult child and they're giving you a hard time, ask the Lord for an insight into their heart. You know, you're the parent, you know, and you can share that. You don't have to say, God told me. You simply say, you know, is this situation bothering you? Is this the reason for it? You know, ask the Lord while they are refuting you at every step of the way. ask the Lord, say, Lord, what's in their heart? What's going on? What's the struggle? Give me the insight that I need. That will be like a word of knowledge. Okay, and then share that with them. Okay, again, you don't have to say, God told me, because that might spook them, you know. But what you can say is, you know, is this what is the what you're really dealing with? Is this the real issue? You know, be surprised. The Lord wants to help you in those kind of situations. Number 9, aid/leadership, Romans chapter 12, verse 8. This is the rendering of care to those who are most vulnerable in the community. Oftentimes we think of leadership as a person up front, you know, leading the way, hey, this is the direction we're going in. That's an aspect, but what we're using here with the spiritual gift of leadership is more about caring for the vulnerable in the community. This is a person who has a heart to care for them and musters the resources of that community to bear upon those situations. Possible expressions are a volunteer, a homemaker, parish activists. This would be somebody who takes a keen interest in trying to correct situations in the community which are not, with people who are vulnerable or there are people who are poor and caring for them. Support staff or administrative assistant. These are people who will say, okay, you need to get, let's say, greeters going to your church. Oh, I can take care of that. And they go off. They take the leadership in that because they recognize the significance of greeters to create a hospitable environment of welcome, for example. Or you may say, you know, I remember when I first went to Philip Neri, I was interested in how can we care for the poor there. And so I said to the deacon, can you find the poor in the area? He came back and said, well, I don't find any poor. Okay, so that told me probably there's poor somewhere. Okay, so I talked to a lady who I knew, her name is Alma, down at Crucifixion where I was before. She was a volunteer there. She had outreach to the poor through the community. I said, Alma, how would you like to come up here and work and find the poor? And she said, yes, and it was a paid position for her. So she came up, and within 3 months, she found the poor everywhere. And for 11 years I was there, she developed a ministry that reached out to all kinds of people. Why is that? She has this gift, the gift of aid and leadership, and she just took off with it because that's her heart, and that was a spiritual gift the Lord was giving her. She could find the poor anywhere, and she knew how to care for them. It wasn't the only gift she had. She used a bunch of these gifts on this paper here, but this was the one that led the way for her, you know. So, okay, so example, Blessed Catherine Jarich, 1754 to 1836. She was born into a peasant farming family in France and became a lay Dominican at the age of 22. She was shrewd, fearless, and creative in setting up an underground for hunted priests during the French Revolution. In France, during the French Revolution, priests were hunted. Okay, they were considered enemies of the people, basically. She hid them in a robber's dens and provided food for them, shelter, safe passage, and false papers in order to escort their safety. In her region, she made sure no babies died without baptism and no one died without last rites. She helped restart parish, should be life, after the French Revolution. So here's a woman who took leadership in these areas where people were in great need, hunted priests, babies who hadn't been baptized yet, people that needed last rites, and she just took off and went for it. And she created resources, she mustered people, she got people to work with her and all that stuff. So this wasn't a Lone Ranger job. She had a community of people that she mustered and worked together, all because she had this gift and others working in her life. Number 10, mercy. This gift gives financial aid to those in need as a reflection of God's unmerited generosity, which is given in Christ. This is a person who, when they see financial needs, particularly for people that are in dire situations, like something rises up in them, and they just want to pour into their life, that person's life, resources, financial resources to help them. You know, these are people that are, for example, they'll hear about a need in the parish community, and boom, they're right there. Let me write the check. You know, I'll take care of that. No problem. You know, and Now, everyone's called to give, right? We're all called to give financially in some way. But these people, this gift rises up in them, gift of mercy, and they just want to financially help those in need. And they don't have any fear about lacking anything when they give it away. They know God will provide. They just like that. They just know it. God will take care of it. I'm going to give it, and God will take care of it. No problem. Not everybody has that gift working in them, so we shouldn't feel like, oh, I should be able to do that. No, if the gift's not operating you, don't try it, you know. But these are people in the community in which the gift of mercy rises up. Possible expressions, medical profession, prison ministry, social work, people that work with the poor or homeless, Eucharistic minister. In our tradition, Mother Teresa, her work to the poorest of the poor in India. Catherine Duhek Doherty, she's venerable, which means her cause is up for beatification. She was in Canada, worked for the poor and racial and economic justice. She also established the Madonna House for the spiritual welfare of spiritual travelers. So number 11, effects of miracles / powers. These are events in which people and things are visibly and beneficially affected in an extraordinary way by the power of God working through an individual. This can be for physical healing, raising the dead even, financial provision, deliverance out of trouble or perilous situations. So we think of miracles, we think of it sometimes in physical ways. A person has a physical disease and a miracle means that it goes away right away. That's one aspect of it. But it could also be financial miracles. For example, a person says, you know, we're going to pursue this course of action. Don't worry about the money. God will provide, okay? And they step out and they establish like maybe a ministry or something and the money's there. So where'd the money come from? They knew God would provide. So it was like a work, a miracle occurred to provide that financially. So some examples are prayer ministry, intercessory prayer. Examples in our tradition are St. Vincent Ferrer. He was a Dominican in the 15th century, conducted healing and miracle services throughout Europe. I like the person I particularly like, if you heard me talk about her before, is Heidi Baker, American missionary to Mozambique. I think I mentioned her recently in one of the homilies. And she and her husband had gone to Mozambique, raised their family there for over a 40-year period. And Mozambique is just a disastrous country. I mean, it's no government hardly. It's run by gangs. Economy is bankrupt, you know. Disease everywhere and orphans everywhere, which is what her heart was. She went and she knew that God had put in her heart and her husband's heart to go minister to the orphans. She had no money, no backing. Nobody was going to back her to go to Mozambique, you know. And so 40 years later, she's established huge compounds of for orphans that were fed, cared for, taught, given the faith of Christ, who now are in their second generation, raising children in the faith. She went, and there were miracles, meaning that the Lord supernaturally provided for her and her family financially. She saw miracles. She saw the raising of the dead. She saw healings and so on. She saw gang leaders' hearts turned back to the Lord, you know, away from their violent lifestyle and so on. And she was in perilous situations, dangerous situations, and she saw the Lord deliver her out of those situations, you know. That's the effects of miracles working in her life. Okay. Number 12, prophecy. This is a declaring of the heart of God for a person or a group for the purpose of edification. Edification means build up or encourage, console and comfort. It is speaking forth words under the inspiration of the Spirit to exhort and strengthen a person. So prophecy here doesn't mean necessarily predicting the future. It means something that you speak to a person's heart that will edify them, build them up, encourage them, console and comfort them. It does have an aspect of future kind of aspect to it, but most of the time the gift is just basically that we can use for one another to encourage. I was praying with somebody before the meeting here, and as we prayed together, we weren't necessarily praying about, we were actually praying for tonight, and I shared with them something that they were going through in their life, which I knew about, and I shared with them that how the Lord went to bring light out of the darkness, how he went to bring treasures out of that were hidden in darkness, bring them, show forth treasures that were in darkness, you know. And that was meant to encourage that person, to comfort them, to console them. That's an example of a prophetic word. So all of us can share that and do that because we're all anointed priests, prophets, and kings, okay? So we all can open our heart and say, Lord, what kind of word do you want me to share with this person? What would you like to say? So a person's pouring their heart out to you, they're pouring out their woes to you, right? And as you're listening, you can say, Lord, what is your heart for that person that I can share with them? You know, again, you don't have to say, oh, God told me to say this to you. No, just simply say, after they poured out their heart, you say, you know, this is what I'd like to share with you, you know. So the Lord wants to give you his heart for that person, and you share that with them. So, okay, some possible expressions, again, are prayer meetings or spiritual direction, counseling, preaching and teaching, prayer ministry. St. Catherine of Siena, who counseled popes and political officials in the 14th century regarding affairs of the church and society. She was a great lady who had the gift of prophecy. Didn't mean she predicted the future. Simply meant that she went around speaking prophetic words, meaning encouraging, giving consolation, comfort, edifying people, giving people direction with her words, you know. And it was a big deal at that time. First of all, it was a big deal for a woman to do that in the 14th century, but it was also a big deal for those popes that were going through struggles. Like, there were two popes at that time, and they kind of both played off one another politically. She had to figure out which was the true pope and then go and encourage him to return back to Rome. So she did do that. How did she do that? She did it through a prophetic word. It was a prophetic word that moved that pope's heart to come back to Rome. So, number 13, teachers. This is through teaching the consistent manifestation of this grace of teaching to explain the truth of revelation in a way that moves a person or a group to a greater commitment to the Lord. When we hear teaching, we think of maybe something I'm doing tonight. That's one aspect of it. But you know, in a small group facilitator could simply share something about God's heart. Like, for example, God is love. And you could share what God's love is like with a small group, and that can move their heart, people in their heart, to have a greater commitment to the Lord. That's an example of teaching. I think of faith formation teachers, catechists, speaking to kids. They take the information and communicate it, but what if they just took one piece of that information, maybe about like God's love for them, and they shared that with the kids? Like, no matter what you're going through today in your family life, God loves you. He wants to help you. That can encourage a child's heart. That would be a gift of teaching, used in that situation to really help those children experience God's love in a personal way. You know, possible expressions, RCIA, people who love to help others grow in the faith, religious education teacher, public school teacher, a volunteer teacher teaching. I think of people I know who spend their time in the community helping others learn to read and write, and particularly like in inner city parishes I worked at in the past. That's a tremendous gift of teaching. They're not doing this. They're just sitting, helping a person read and write and encouraging that person as they go along. And that's really moving those children's hearts or adults' hearts sometimes too. A person who writes or creates curriculum, a tutor. I know a lady at St. Philip Neri that tutored not just kids, she tutored adults into reading, writing, and specific studies. And she would oftentimes pray with those people, and she would use the gift of teaching to encourage them, you know, and give concrete expression to their learning. You know. An example of this, St. John Baptist de La Salle. He established the school for poor boys and teaching boys in the vernacular, that means the language of the day, and teaching many children at once that revolutionized education of that day. So education that day didn't teach in the vernacular. And so he went to the poor children in his society, and he taught them in their language, educated them. And so, for example, Calvary Hall today, have the Calvary Hall brothers, you know, religious brothers. They're all extend from St. John Baptist de La Salle. Okay, number 14, kinds of tongues. This is speaking in human or heavenly languages not learned. My example earlier of David Mangan and Patty Mansfield. So possible expressions are prayer meetings, intercessory prayer, prayer ministry, counseling, or spiritual direction. Okay, number 15, word of wisdom. This is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to apply wisdom to practical problems. It's an understanding the heart of God for a situation to solve a problem. So what do we mean by that? It means you're trying to solve a problem, and you get an insight from the Lord, I think this is what we should do, or this is the direction we should head in. And your group does that, or the individual does that, and it bears good fruit. So in other words, when you're facing problems and you're trying to solve problems, ask the Lord, Lord, we need a word of wisdom here. We need some insight from you that will give us practical, concrete direction as to how to head, what direction to head in. So possible expressions, people in leadership, counseling / spiritual direction, writing, administration. Administration, a person who works in administration, the word of wisdom is so, so helpful, because a person in administration faces endless problems they have to solve. And it's nice to have supernatural insight from the Lord. Lord, give me an insight, a practical insight of how to move in a certain direction or solve this issue or what to say to this person that will move their heart, you know. Caroline Chisholm, 1808 to 1877, born in England. She sailed to Austria in 1838. As a young wife and mother, she was touched by the plight of thousands of poor European immigrants pouring into Austria, at Australia. As a devout Catholic and gifted problem solver, she personally founded jobs for over 11,000 female immigrants who otherwise might have been forced into prostitution. Riding on a white horse, she led caravans of immigrants hundreds of miles into the bush to find homes. She was shrewd and fearless and recognized as a great figure in Australian history. And as a Catholic, she had this gift of the word of wisdom. She could solve problems endlessly, practical ways, finding jobs for people, you know, finding homes for people, you know. So she had this overwhelming confidence the Lord was giving her this gift to be able to take care of these situations. So I hope you see these gifts that we looked at, and this isn't all the gifts, but this is, we want to look at these 15, that these were, many of these gifts were for practical situations with people in need or suffering or struggling. So the Lord wants to give these gifts to help us as we minister to people in their needs and the situations they're facing. So if you're a teacher in faith formation or a teacher in a public school, for example, or you're tutoring kids or adults, for example, ask the Lord for the gifts that you need for the situations that you're facing for them. Again, you don't have to put a God told me sign on it. You know, all you do is ask him and expect him to give that to you so that you can help the person who is struggling. You'd be surprised at the insights, ideas, thoughts that come into your heart and mind that you can share with people. It's a matter of recognizing he has gifts to give, and as we face the problems of life or situations we find ourselves in, expect him to give the gifts that we need for that situation. So, okay, what I can do now, we want to take a few minutes and just in your group, talk about what gifts are showing up in your life and where they're showing up. Share that with your group, and we'll take about 10 minutes to do that.